The next item on the agenda is report on crab license fees. Mr. O'Reilly.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Last month, there was some discussion about the recent crab regulations and the effect of those regulations on the Marine Products Board revenue, and I understand that Joe Cardwell from the Marine Products Board is here today. If you have any questions for him, what we did, Suzanne Nestor, who you met last month in the Fisheries Division office, had a fine time pulling this together, and Administration and Finance was very helpful to get us information. So we started out looking at the overall situation on a fiscal basis of everything in terms of revenue for the marine products. And I think what you see there is that the last couple of years really are a downturn compared to the time series fiscal year 1994 forward. So the economic times also are part of what faces Marine Products Board.
And the Marine Resources.
And the Marine Resources. You're reading ahead, though. We looked at the total yearly license sales. Wanted to give you more information than just crabs. And what you can see here are the totals in red. And there have been some change 2004 through 2008. And I think for the purposes of looking at the large amounts of licenses sold, you're looking at crabs and food fish. Crabs have fallen quite a bit. The amount that are on the waiting list is very small in comparison to the drop-off that you've seen just occurring by 2007 from 2004. Food fish, fairly steady in terms of the licenses sold, and you can see some of the other categories here. The recreational use, which is part of this presentation, the recreational five crab pot was temporarily put aside by the commission, and you can see those type of sales as well.
Oysters are more than doubled?
Yes. This looks at the revenue from those licenses, the same groups. Again, you can see a pretty significant drop from 2004 to 2007. 2008 was actually up a little bit, and I probably think that it's obvious that some of those who bought licenses in 2008 are those who are on the waiting list right now. But equally so, as you're going to hear later on today, some of those who have appealed will be off the waiting list. So you have to take this information about crabs in particular as a maximum loss of revenue. Crabs and food fish are the two main categories. And you can see that the oysters, in terms of the trend other than licenses, fluctuates up and down. Probably the average is close to $20,000 over that five-year period. To look at crabs in particular and break out that category into all the different gears here, and you probably will have trouble keeping up with the graph there, but certainly you can see that the crab trap, which is right here, has an abundance of licenses. Of course, one fisherman will set an abundance of licenses usually, and that's followed in terms of trends by your 300 pot as another item. You can see that from 2004 to 2008, you are seeing a decline, and that's something here shown up in 2008. Anything that is highlighted in yellow indicates a decline from the 2004-2007 average license sales. The same scheme is repeated here. You have your 300 pot as generating the most amount and the highest pot category for licensees. You can see there has been a drop-off in time. You can see the same thing in the peeler pot. So a lot of the drop-off occurred by 2007. And again, when you look at the revenue for 2008 in comparison to the previous 4 years, and these 4 years are significant because they've been used in everything the commission has put forward, whether it's disaster relief or whether they're looking at the trends in the 34% reduction. This talks in particular about the crab issue and the waiting list that currently, before appeals today, has 444 formerly eligible crab pot fishermen. I think what you can see in terms of licenses purchased, that there certainly was a decline through 2007, not much more in 2008, and you can see where licenses weren't purchased by those on the waiting list. The highest is clearly in 2008, pardon me, but 2007 is close as well. When you look at revenue, you should be aware that in 2006, with the change in the license fees, part of the revenue comes to the Marine Resources Commission, and that's shown right here for 2006, 2007, and 2008, with the share going to Marine Products right through here. Peeler pot, the same type of a situation. Right now, there are 288 on the waiting list, and if you look at the license sales, you can see a few more in 2008 were purchased than 2007. You can also see that more licenses weren't purchased in 2007. Since 2008 was a situation where regulations were formed, starting as early as February but ending later on in the spring, we used 2007 data to try and calculate what type of a loss this might be. And just based on the crab pot and peeler pot licenses and those on the waiting list, it looks like $15,000 as a maximum based on how many appeals are successful, and $7,000 for the Marine Resources Commission as a potential loss for 2009.
So total amount of loss is $15,000 in real hard cash for crab?
To the Marine Products Board, yes.
Okay.
When you look at the dredge licenses, which really didn't come up last month, but that's certainly part of the regulatory aspects, the suspension of the 2008-2009 season. Again, we went back to 2007 before it was known by anyone that there would be any type of a suspension of that fishery. And if you do that, you see that the MRC fees that could be lost in 2009 are $4,370. Marine Products, nearly $6,700. When you look at the five-pot recreational use of the commercial license that was disbanded temporarily until an improvement in the resource, you can see that 2006 and 2007, 2005, high amount of licenses dropped off significantly in 2008, which might tell you that a lot of recreational crabbers were going to wait to buy their license anyway in comparison to some of the commercial crabbers. The revenue, we used 2007 again, almost $15,000 for the marine products, so roughly equal to the crab pot, peeler pot loss. VMRC revenue, $3,570. This is just to give you an idea of the licenses and the fees attached. And again, up until 2006, license fees can be found in the left-hand column on either side of the printout here. In 2006, license fees changed for the most part. You'll see that oyster license fees, at least down through the hand scrape, were maintained at the 2005 price level. And so this is where 2006 and subsequently the Marine Resources Commission receives part of the revenue for the Marine Improvement Fund. When you look at everything together collectively, here's what you see for the Marine Products Board. Total projected loss of revenue, $36,717. For the Marine Resources Commission, $15,358. When you look at the Marine Products Board rather on a fiscal year but on a calendar year basis and adjust everything for the CPI or the Consumer Price Index in 2008, you see a trend that is even a little more alarming than what you saw in the fiscal data. and that is that subsequent to about 2003, if you consider inflation, the revenue is really down comparison, especially to the long period 1980 to about 1993 or so. This is a bit of an anomaly. We tried to chase some of the non-resident harvester fees here and weren't successful. So until we resolve that, that's a work in progress on 1993. And you can look up here and see the exact amounts, both of the revenue and the inflation, and then jump to the recent set of years and see the decline. This is mainly about crabs, but I think it's also about limited entry, limited access, the effects that regulations have on licensed sales. And clearly, when you look at food fish, the two top sellers are the gillnet, whether it's up to 600 feet or 600 to 1,200 feet. And you can probably see the increase, which Joe Grist just went over some of this with you. But the idea here is that starting with striped bass in the fall of 1992 as the first limited entry fishery and moving forward through black sea bass, summer flounder, conch pot, and so on, there is going to be an effect on revenue from these type of regulations. However, the commission is always trying to balance that with the needs of the resource first. And a lot of times the resource demands that some type of restricted access be put on fisheries. If you look strictly at the number of licenses, again, the two gillnet licenses far outshadow any other type of food fish license. When you look at oysters, this is the hand scrape in terms of revenue, and you might recall a few years ago when Thomas Rock and other rocks were opened up to hand scrape and up in the Potomac tributaries, you can see the jump in the hand scrape licenses and they settle down. So there are other aspects which are important, the revenue. A good positive sign is the aquaculture license, which the commission developed and started with 2007. You can see just with clam, the large increase there in 1 year from 2007 to 2008. You can also see the same thing in the oyster revenue. This is just Seafood Buyer to show you kind of an overall glimpse of the buyer side. Definitely a downturn both in the boat and truck licenses and in the place of businesses just since 2004. I wanted to just jump for the recreational licenses here and show you that very quickly and show you the gillnet on the recreational side, which is right here, and you can see that that's above 900 licenses compared to maybe 560 or so, which existed back in 2004. You can also see the pot license and the drop off there in the pot license for crabs. So that's really a summary. If there are any questions.
Any questions of Mr. O'Reilly? Thank you, Rob.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to ask him, I don't see anything in your voice around rent. Is that a factor in this thing or not?
No.
Not applicable to
the commission.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Cardwell, good to have you here. Did you want to address the commission, say anything, or? So it's good to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Sir.
I'm Joe Cardwell. I'm the marketing specialist for the Marine Products Board. I've been in this position for the past 3 years. We definitely promote the state and its economy from the catching to the processing to pushing the product to keep the economy growing. The commission has worked with us, has helped us in some of our areas of cost in presenting information throughout the industry through the newsletter that's been put out. This upcoming newsletter is basically an example of our efforts to try to accumulate more funding to support what we're doing. Numbers like today, Mr. Ollie just presented me, gave me a better feel and an understanding of the monies that we won't have coming in our direction. Most of our funding comes in usually after the fact of where we're trying to go, so we're always a couple of months behind. What we're trying to do right now is start a revenue-sharing license plate for the state that basically supports what we try to do and gets more people involved in looking at trying to bring the bay back and also giving us an advertisement for every license plate. I would like to think that I could spend more time in promoting for the state. I'm finding myself spending more time trying to promote programs to give me more finances to move forward. That's my comment, Hole, and all the help I can get from this board certainly is
I appreciate you coming before the plate. For those that don't know, it's a seafood lover's license plate. Was it required, Joe, 400 or 1,000 to be issued before? I think it's 1,000 have to be issued before or signed up before the Commonwealth will print the plate.
Actually,
y'all have got like 400, 500 signatures already, don't you?
Well, we have just started that program. We have just introduced that to the General Assembly. It has been through the news media, on the radio, on the Eastern Shore, and possibly around 50 locations on the Western Shore that we're now promoting the plate. What's required of us is to get 350 signed applications by the next General Assembly meeting. At that point, we will have enough support to present to the DMV that what we're trying to do is to help promote the state. At that point, they will then issue manufacturing of the plate. We then have to sell 1,000 plates.
That's what it is.
Before that, and after 1,000 plates are sold, then we will get a percentage.
50%, isn't it?
Actually, it's a $25 plate. We'll get 15%, $15
okay.
out of each plate.
$15.
And that will then give us direction on go
okay.
to help us promote the state, help the seafood industry, and keep us strong.
Where can the folks get some applications if they want them?
Actually, we've just had that put on our website at the virginiaseafood.org. Most every tackle shop, West Marine hardware store from Pungo to Colonial Beach has already been contacted. I'm still in the process. I'm in my second week of contacting places, but they can also contact me at the office at any time and the Marine Products Board.
Sounds great. One question I've got. What do you know right offhand what your operating budget is a year about?
Around 250.
Okay.
And that's a guess. Not knowing exactly from regulations that have been put in place,
mm-hmm.
The reason I'm here today, thankful for the update on what I'm exactly facing for the upcoming year. That gives me a better feel on where we stand and what we can anticipate.
Well, let's hope those license plates are hit as well.
Hope so.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Any questions, Mr. Fox?
Yes. Can you give us an update on the marketing for Calno's Raise?
Yes, I can. I am the man.
Good.
I have worked in that area now going on 2 solid years on the promotion of that fish. Naturally, in all the industry, the economy has affected us this year based on what we're selling the fish for and where it's going into the white tablecloth markets. I have met with 39 different industries as far as New Jersey to as far down south to Atlanta to have people interested and show this program and have participated in their food shows to demonstrate its potential, its high protein and low fat. We've had a number of the industry members pitch in and buy it. It's not has been as strong this past year. Ray has been going out to be distributed at a $4 pound price. A lot of your restaurant industry is naturally trying to hold on to their clientele and be competitive and get as much of the market share as they can. Some of the comments is that if they're going to pay $4 a pound for salmon, they're not going to put it as an experiment for new fish. Just recently, to give you more updated information, and this is a process that's ongoing, we have introduced Ray as another example of food service prepared. Ray has been used in sampling as strips, like a clam strip. I had an appointment about a month ago with the Sea Watch program, went up and did a demo with them with strips, breaded. And they're very interested in what we had to present. It turned out to be a uniform product. And like I say, it's just starting, but they're very interested, and this might be another direction that we're going. Some more information, if you don't mind me telling you. We've gone in a lot of different directions on trying to promote this fish. Naturally, we've looked in the pet industry. We've looked at it as a bait fish. I've contacted aquariums in reference to using some of the byproducts of the ray as shark food, because we know that sharks like to eat them. We have some controversial issues about presenting a fishery and then not having it controlled. I have educated most everyone that I've talked to, because of this board and the regulations on what we're doing and how many fish we can catch, we are sustainable through the acts that control the fishery. In the questions that people have in reference to a food for pets, most of these pet companies require a test for a number of animals, and then they do a study. They asked about $75,000 for that test. Working on a budget that's nowhere near that, it kind of limits us to where we can go in that direction. In the aquarium side of getting bait used to feed the sharks, a lot of people are very concerned in the aquarium side that they don't want to give the wrong impression. They're trying to promote fish in an aquarium and to keep them, and they'd hate to think that somebody would think they were feeding them ray. But right now, with the preparation for strips, I think it's has a tremendous potential, and as we progress, we will continue on with that.
We would love for you to feed it to them.
So thanks so much. Always good to have you here.
Thank you.
Good working with you.
I'm the one brought this up at the last commission meeting because I have a great deal of concern. And there's 30-some thousand dollars from a $20 or $30 million budget. It's not a lot, but when it's only 200-some thousand. A question I have is, who handles the Marine Improvement Fund? Do you do that, Sonia? Can you come up here? I have a question for you. Now, this is not the recreation. I'm talking about the commercial Marine Improvement. Do we have some funds in there available to offset some of this, if we're allowed to do it by law?
I think probably, see if Ms. McCroskey's downstairs, or if she's...
Currently, like, for instance, for the Ray Project, we do that as a separate grant. The last couple of years that they've been able to do all this marketing, we've done that as a separate grant from the Marine Improvement Fund. We usually don't know how much we're going to have available until commercial registration. We get through commercial registration through February, and then...
But it's not already earmarked for this year coming.
We have not done anything for the 2009.
We don't
have the amount that's going to be available after mandatory reporting.
I don't think that's a consideration we could take. That is commercial money. Mm-hmm. And there's
whose discretion is that on the code? Is that mine? Is it... That's the other thing I can't remember, as far as whether it's discretion of the commissioner, or is it a discretion of the commission? Carl, can you help me out there?
I have to look it up. Anybody remember the citation to the code section?
Commission approval.
Mr. Rogers?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we're already able to fund specific grant requests, there's nothing then that would preclude the Marine Products Board from making additional grant requests specific for the upcoming season, correct?
Right.
Okay. So we do have that flexibility already in the system.
Sure. Thank you. Any further questions?
No, I think that takes care of it. Okay. All we need now is Joe to make a request.
Thanks, Sonia. Any other comments?